broadcast friends. Welcome back. It's Derek the Freedom Screamer with Lori and Gary and Chris and everybody out there. If y'all want to join in, it's 800-313-9443. Who else benefits? Add to our list. Call in and chip in. Who do you think benefits from this? I mean, we could go down the list, the Rothschilds, the Vatican, your local police, your local witches court, the state witches court, all the attorneys passing the law who are going to get into positions of private practice and charge you 5, 10, 15, 20, 50 grand to catch you off the charges of the laws that they're going to pass. They're going to lock up more people like Tom LaCavara. They're going to lock up more people like Cliven Bundy. They're going to lock up more people on absurd, obscene, obscure gun charges, people who hurt nobody. They happen to be possessing a gun that has too many rounds in the clip or some other garbage, some procedural, statutorial, the little accessory thing on your gun that they're going to lock people up in prison for. They're going to bond the cases in the witches' court. The attorneys will be charging money. The judges' pensions will go up. Sessions is going to love it. Add him to the list. Every single one of the three-letter agencies. We'll break it down. We'll go through it. I mean, every entity I can imagine benefits from this mass shooting. Except the guy who they're telling you is the one that did it. If we look at who benefits, that's where the motive is. The motive's not the target. The people, the enemy, the target is where they want your sympathies to lie. The target is where they want to create the inflammatory point, the public outrage. That the target is the one, the person they want your mind to get all up and sympathetic for it all, in a mindset of revenge for whoever the person. Whoever the patsy is that they put forward, it's ISIS, it's Antifa, it's this, it's that. Don't let the enemy have your mind. The government lies about everything. You think they're going to tell you the truth about this one? There was multiple shooters. Things like this don't happen without serious inside assistance, funding, manipulation, direction, staging. These things just don't happen by, you know, with somebody carrying. Now it's up to 29 guns is what I heard. In the past hotel security, that doesn't happen in reality, only in the government's fantasy story that they put forth with their new Lee Harvey Paddock, Osama bin Paddock, the patsy, the new fall guy du jour, the new patsy du jour, just like all these organizations. Where did Antifa or Black Lives Matter come from, or what happened to Corazon or Daesh? And it's ISIS one day, and it's Al Qaeda the next, and it's Daesh, and it's Corazon, and then it's whatever name they want to make up. Every couple of years, they come up with something new for public consumption. Here's a new snack. Here's a new product. Here's something. Madison Avenue, CIA, CNN, CIA, Fox News, all these intelligence agency front groups. It's most of them owned by Saudis now. Apparently, according to Lori's guest last Friday, the Saudis had the top floors of the Mandalay Hotel for an entire month just before the shooting. What a great cover to get the easily what easier way to get those weapons in than under the, you know, with all the baggage and stuff that the Saudis bring in. You think the hotel security is going to be searching the Saudi prince's stuff? I mean, he owns the hotel. He's going to walk right in with whatever he wants. So, I mean, the pieces are starting to fall together, and it's not looking good. Of course, you're never going to get the true story from the government. But add to the list. We'll start with the witches' court. In every single jurisdiction in the country will benefit from this. Let's add number two to the list. The multinational, before we even get to the attorneys, let's add the multinational corporations like Concentration Camps of America, CCA, which is right on the NASDAQ. Just look up CCA. They call themselves CoreCivic now, but they wanted to be called Correction Corporation of America. And they are nothing more than Concentration Camps of America. Look what they're doing to the Bundys, holding people for years without a trial. That's insane. And we're allowing that to happen. And when I say we, it's the sheeple that are allowing it. It's the majority, the mind-numbed, robotic majority that's allowing all this to happen without a complaint or without a protest. And I'm very suspicious of all the people that are demonizing protests. Like Judge Roy Moore and the Dana woman from the NRA commercials, and protest is not good. This country was founded on protest. The reason we're down the toilet of tyranny so far is because people stopped protesting. They started sitting home like Archie Bunker, watching everything on TV in the fat chair, and then didn't move and said, somebody else will fix it, or I can't fix it. All the rationalization, all the excuses, for the cowards that didn't want to do anything. And so anyway, we appreciate the listeners.
That kind of coincides too, Eric. I was just going to say that kind of coincides too with when they started fluoridating the water.
Because I agree totally. Fluoride is a neurotoxin. It's been proved to be such, and it is part of the chemical dumbing down of the people, along with some other things. But that's one of the main things is the fluoridated tap water is very toxic.
Mm-hmm. Well, I want to report this. The Conservative Tribune reported this, and I thought this was really amazing and wonderful. Because as everybody is hearing nothing but all the bombardment, they're not hearing any positive that has come out of the Vegas situation. So I'm going to report it to everyone. Conservative Tribune reported, and this was on October the 7th that they reported this, more than 3,000 people gathered at a church to pray for the victims of the Las Vegas shooting, and a video of the thousands of people singing Amazing Grace has now gone viral. About 3,500 mourners set aside their plans on October the 2nd to make time to gather at Canyon Ridge Christian Church in Las Vegas for a candlelight vigil to remember and pray for the 58 victims slain during the tragedy and the hundreds of others who were injured. This kind of display, and I'm reading the article, that makes liberals furious since so many of them think thoughts and prayers are not enough to heal the country following mass tragedies. But these thousands of people showed their belief in the power of prayer. And then it says, liberals would have everyone believe that true change can only take place within the halls of power in Washington. While it's important that our politicians take such deadly shootings seriously, tragedies such as the one in Las Vegas are a stark reminder to all Americans that we must first place our trust in God. After all, there's a reason America's motto is "In God We Trust." And Mike, if you could, I sent you a link. If you could get that up to play that for the audience, it would be great.
Real quick, I'll agree with them. If the first thing they do is shut down all the three-letter agencies, then I might even go along with it.
And then it says, according to informed folks, volunteers from the church also wanted to show support for members of the Las Vegas Metropolitan Police Department who bravely put their lives at risk to help the innocent victims of the shootings on October the 1st. In a show of love and support, those volunteers set up buffet tents for the officers to enjoy. Hopefully, this will inspire more Americans to remember the power of prayer and the importance of faith in God during these hard times. Mike, do you have that available? Okay. Look on Skype one and please pull that link. Yes, please. This is the 3,500 people singing together. Unity in the midst of the storm.
Cool.
Satan will not win. It is finished. Christ said that before he gave up the ghost. Let's remember that. So I also have the reporter, Pete Santilli. He accepted a plea deal in the Bundy Ranch case. If you remember and have been following the Bundy Ranch trials, then you're familiar with the reporter, Pete Santilli. He faced a plethora of trumped-up charges against him that could have ended him in prison for life. The week of the Marine veteran accepted the plea deal, it allowed him to be freed from the Southern Nevada Detention Center. So, Pete, if you hear the sound of my voice, congratulations at being out of the Southern Nevada Detention Center. And we will continue to keep you in our prayers for your upcoming hearing. Keith Santilli's attorney dropped a bombshell in Las Vegas courtroom today when he stated that his client had reached a plea agreement with the government. Chris Ramason, Santilli's attorney, also withdrew every motion their team had filed based on the plea deal. The agreement includes Santilli agreeing to a felony count of obstruction of justice based on his blocking a BLM truck prior to the Bunkerville standoff. Will receive time served and is expected to be released within the next few days. No other details have been released for this deal. Yes, they are calling that a felony because he blocked a BLM truck.
Yeah, he got in their way.
Say,
oh, whoops.
That is absolutely insane. Insane that they can get by with calling that a felony, much less the feds, BLM, was not even on their land. They are Bureau of Land Management, not Bureau of Land Ownership. Just saying. Tim Brown reported that early this morning, I spoke to Santilli via the telephone, and he was indeed released and spoke of how good it felt to be free again. The vast majority of that conversation was off the record, but there is no doubt that he did what he thought was right, considering the odds against him. As we reported earlier, the corruption of Judge Navarro, the prosecution led by Steve Maher, and the lies that surrounded government land grabs and unconstitutional agencies enforcing those land grabs make it nearly impossible for someone to get a fair hearing in a trial. And that is true. Couple that with the fact that for people like Clive and Bundy, the jury was essentially tampered with when the Democrat Party of Nevada mailed nearly 750,000 flyers to citizens of Nevada that falsely claimed Mr. Bundy was connected to the Las Vegas cop killers, Vera and Amanda Miller. Consider also the prosecution was seeking to basically rid Santilli of his First Amendment rights to free speech, restrictions on what he could and could not say to defend himself, and yet they were seeking to use some of the things that they didn't want Santilli just to talk, present in the courtroom against him. The plea deal comes after 18 months in jail without a conviction. Obviously, the government believes that if you can lean on people long enough and hard enough, they are willing to plead to a deal that will get them their freedom back. In contemplating the plea bargain, Gary Hunt at Outpost of Freedom, whom I have great respect for, presents several lines of thought. And I will, of course, have that in the links. I'm not going to read the rest of that. However, congratulations to Pete for finally getting out of the Southern Nevada Detention Center. Anyone who automatically tries to say, well, he accepted a plea deal, so he's not a patriot, be careful. Because if you're not in their shoes, you absolutely have no right to speak upon that. And that's just my thought on that. I do know the Daniel P. Love, it is being reported that Daniel P. Love may actually have to sit on the witness stand, Eric. What do you think about that? That'd be great.
Oh, that is good news.
Yeah, so that's being reported, and I'll cover that, of course, at a different time. But I did want to let also people know, There is so much information that we really need to cover. I don't know if you know about the wildfires that are going on in California. Have you heard about that?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So far there's 10 dead as Wine Country fires burn at least 1,500 structures and force evacuations. This was reported 5:50 p.m. today. It is very sad. It says that a swarm of fires supercharged by powerful winds ripped through Napa, Sonoma, and Mendocino counties Monday, killing at least 10 people, injuring dozens of others, destroying more than 1,500 homes and businesses, and turning prominent wineries to ash. It says that starting in the middle of the night, the fires hopscotched across neighborhoods, raced across fields, and jumped freeways. Wind gusts up to 70 miles an hour pushed walls of flames nearly 100 feet high, throwing embers ahead like hot fingers into strip malls and subdivisions. Many people who fled the surge had enough time to grab car keys, perhaps a pet, but not much more. Pray for everybody who is out there in California, please. It's not just Vegas that's going on. I would curiously like to know how it started. I would love to know if the Bureau of Land Management was managing some wildfires. Just saying, and that's not mean. That's just historically accurate. They, a lot of times, will do land management and start fires, and then it gets out of control and houses and stuff are burned. So I'm not saying they did. I'm just saying I would just really like, out of curiosity, to know if they were around doing land management at the time. That's a fair question, don't
you
all think?
Offer something in respect to that, if you don't mind, Lori.
Sure, go ahead.
You don't mess around, Chris.
In asymmetrical warfare, you can use most any sort of tactic or technocracy as a weaponized version of war. Fire makes a perfect weapon for war. Firestorms, fire tornadoes, other forms of destroying property or attacking property, causing death and harm to people, is still murder. It also can be used to drive people off their land, to burn them out, as it used to be known, frequently practiced in the early days of America and the cowboys in Western days. If they had somebody they wanted to remove from the land, they'd simply set fires all around and drive them out of the house with the heat and the smoke and the fumes, or they'd succumb and come overcome with the fumes and the smoke and die. And then their lands would be available and free for whoever it was that wanted to drive them off in the first place for whatever reason or agenda. Political motive, perhaps covering up crimes, perhaps the criminals themselves set the fire because they had evidence against the perpetrators. There are many myriad different reasons that one might choose to set a fire, to open fire, as they did in Las Vegas, possibly from another location, like an under-construction building, not very far from the site of the U.S. 91 Harvest Festival, where perhaps the sounds echoed off the Mandalay Bay rather than coming from the Mandalay Bay. I would wonder if the Metropolitan Police had been searching that. I was watching Joe Lombardo on TV on YouTube just before I came on your program tonight, and he was showing great amounts of stress himself. Apparently, the stress of being constantly having to ask tough questions, like, he was extolling the virtues of how all the first responders and everybody did so well, the FBI agents, the Metropolitan Police, and the others, although he didn't answer why it was it took him 47 minutes to make entry to the room after the first guy named Campos, a security guard, went to check on an open door on the same floor and apparently was shot by somebody from the room in the leg. Now, we don't know for sure that it was Stephen Paddock that shot him, because very likely there were others in the room, and Paddock could have been dead, or maybe he wasn't dead yet, maybe he was dead yet. But there were more than one people in there, because how could he have been shooting out the window and shooting through the door at the same time, some would ask. Mm-hmm. So there are some very interesting questions that have no answers in this investigation.
Right, right, absolutely. I agree, Chris. I do agree, and there's a lot of anomalies, more anomalies than what I brought up on Friday. Will definitely be brought up upcoming Friday when Jeremy is on here. And the reason that I'm doing that is because he is a firearm specialist, you know, and he's also former military and police officer, so he's got that vantage point from all three sides for us, and he's an amazing individual, And I'm just thankful that he's giving us his time to be able to talk and explain to our listeners, as well as myself, educate me. I like getting educated. So I did want to also report in Gilbert, Arizona. An Arizona car dealership spent the week trying to get in touch with a U.S. Marine Corps veteran, Taylor Winston. Yep. remember that name because he still held to his oath. See, this is what I love. I love the ones that take that oath seriously, that even after they get out of the service, they know. Most of the military guys, when they take their oath, they know. It's for life. It doesn't stop when the contract ends. And this was one of them. Teller Winston, after he was recognized as a hero for commandeering a truck to save lives during the deadliest mass shooting in modern U.S. history. Now, the only thing I hate about these writings, this is all I've heard over mainstream media, and then I'm going to get back to the good news on this. Please quit calling this the deadliest mass shooting in United States history. Look up Wounded Knee. Okay? Look up Wounded Knee. And then tell me again, this is the deadliest mass shooting in U.S. history. Look up the statistics of just last month for the Chicago area. It's not accurate. It's to invoke fear, and they want you to think with emotions, not facts, because that is when they can steal your unalienable rights by you agreeing to it. So Taylor Winston, he commandeered a truck to save lives during the mass shooting in Vegas. D5 Motors in Gilbert, Arizona, posted to Facebook on Wednesday asking the public to help to track Winston down. Quote, yesterday we read of a vet, Taylor Winston, and his harrowing way he rescued dozens of Vegas victims. Facebook post said, according to the reports, he stole a truck to quickly transport the injured to the hospital. We would like to find Taylor and thank him for his bravery by providing him a free truck from B5 Motors. Please share and tag anyone that may know him. Winston and his girlfriend, Jen Lewis, looked for ways to get victims out of harm's way during the shooting when they realized they couldn't fight back. Did you hear that? They realized they couldn't fight back. I saw a field with a bunch of white trucks, Winston said. I tested my luck to see if any of them had keys in it. First one we tried opening had keys sitting right there. I started looking for people to take to the hospital. There was just too many, and it was overwhelming how much blood was everywhere. Winston said he saw a lot of bravery and courageous people during the shooting. The dealership got in contact with Winston, and according to a report from the Arizona Central, Winston will pick up a silver Ford F-150 on Monday. Excellent job, and Semper Fidelis, sir. And great job to that dealership for recognizing that. He truly is a man of honor and a hero. I wanted to share that with you all because you're not getting information about the ones who have done something to really make that difference. And you need that. You need that. I need that. We all do. Okay, so we've got what I call a kind of interesting report. I found a little bit amusing. And apparently, according to DC Clothesline, Max Slavo, and he really does amazing work. He also posts on his work, also gets posted on freedomoutpost.com. And Democrat voters were confused. I didn't realize I would be the one who was going to pay for it personally. Well, there's a shock. Back in 2008, when the candidate Obama promised Joe the Plumber and the rest of America that he intended to spread the wealth around, most Democrat and liberal voters embraced the notion of wealth redistribution under the guise of equality. A universal health care plan that would be free for all Americans was the promise from the candidate of hope and change. Then the millions of Americans jumped on the bandwagon, waving their flags, fainting at his appearances and fawning over his every word. None ever thought about where the money would come from for all of this newfound wealth he promised to bestow upon them. But those who understood that socialism, communism, and governance by the collective are failed experiments warned where that money would come from. It would be taken by force from the toils of the middle class, and it would impoverish them in the process. Now, the Mimerdons, who once vehemently supported the policies of President Barack Obama without question, are coming to the realization that when Obama spoke about spreading the wealth, he actually meant their wealth, too. Cindy Venison is one such supporter. This month, like many Americans who have health insurance through their employer or private insurers, Vincent got an unwanted bill. And the awakening of the government-sponsored wealth confiscation and redistribution. Cindy Venison and Tom Waschura are big believers in the Affordable Care Act. They vote independent and are proud to say that they helped elect and reelect President Barack Obama. Yet, like many other Bay Area residents who pay for their own medical insurance, they were floored last week when they opened their bills. Their policies were being replaced with pricier plans that conform to all the requirements of the new health care law. Vincent of San Jose will pay $1,800 more a year for an individual policy, while Waschura Portola Valley will cough up almost $10,000 more for insurance for his family of four. I was laughing at Boehner until the mail came today, Waschura said, referring to the House Speaker, John Boehner, who is leading the Republican charge to defund Obamacare. I really don't like Republican tactics, but at least now I can understand why they are so pissed about this. When you take $10,000 out of my family's pocket each year, that's otherwise disposable income or retirement savings that will not be going into our local economy. Both Benson and Waschura have adjusted gross incomes greater than four times the federal poverty level and the cutoff for a tax credit. And while both said they anticipated the rates would go up, they didn't realize they would rise so much. And with that, we'll finish on the other side this break and hearing a word from our sponsor. The smoke is rising in the shadows overhead.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Many people write us about their experience with Extendivite. Allow me to read you some from Amazon.com. It really does work like the review says it does. I cannot believe that after the first few days, I didn't feel as sluggish or clogged up. It has had a profound impact on my physical, emotional well-being. I'm skeptical as most people about products and their claims, and I never write reviews, but this is a wonderful product and I recommend it to everyone. Great product. It has brought my blood pressure from the mid-150s over the 80s to the mid-130s over mid-80s, along with diet and exercise in just the past couple of months. Excellent. Thank you, David. Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now, but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Welcome back, friends. Welcome back to the broadcast. It's Eric the Freedom Screamer with Lori and Gary and Chris. Thanks for joining us on the RBN Network. Lori, back to you. I'm going to let you close out the show. Go ahead, Lori.
May I, please? May I? This is Gary Dunn.
Sure, Gary, yeah. Go ahead.
Just a quick question. Yeah, I really stuck close to listen to the oath that the president took, and also what President Obama took, okay? Now, my understanding, correct me if I'm absolutely wrong, or straighten me out in my thinking here. If Obama took the same oath that Trump took, which in my opinion was they both took the oath to the corporation, the United States, mm-hmm. not the United States of America, which I took.
That's correct.
And to support. So now we have two people of different everything, supposedly, but they're nominated to be the head of the corporation. Now, I worked mm-hmm. for General Motors for a lot of years, and I'm telling you, nobody ever got to the top and stayed there, okay, that didn't agree with the corporation. I don't care how smart they were. John DeLorean was an example, and I won't go into that. A very genius engineer man made things work. And he was demoted quickly because he didn't go along with the corporation. So we see right now, just the health care issue, what little I can understand of it, Trump can't get his own party. Well, there's no – the parties are all the same. They all go to mm-hmm. the same weddings together. They all go to the same thing. They all support the same wars. I mean, maybe you're going to have one or two people out here that doesn't. But in the main, they're part of the corporation.
Yeah, she sides the same coin.
And see, when you mention coin. These churches, you know, I have a son's a Baptist preacher. He's nothing more mm-hmm. than executive of the corporation. All these 501c3 churches are corporations. Mm-hmm. So you know, we just have one corporation after another, and you can't hardly get away from it. So just correct me if I'm wrong. I stand corrected any time, and I don't hold any grudges, okay?
Hey, Gary, there's yes, one little thing that you might not recall clearly about Obama. If you remember when he first took his public oath, he supposedly made a faux pas, a mistake, a mess up.
Mm-hmm.
And he had to take a secret one somewhere else. And I think if we remember correctly, he used a Quran to take that oath on, and it may have been a completely different oath. But I think you're effectually correct. He was taking an oath to either the corporation or to other, let's call them special interests. We don't know exactly what he took his oath to, but we know that Trump did take an oath to be the CEO of the corporation, CorpUSE, and that is Title 18 United States Code. I'll think about it and give it to you here in a little bit, but there's Title 18, it says CorpUS is a corporation. 18-3002, parenthetical 15, I think it is. I don't hold me to that one. I could be confused on my recollection, but I think that's correct. Al Whitney from In Defense of Humanity on Saturday nights, she talks about that one quite often. I'm pretty sure that's what it is, 3002.
Are you talking about the code that lists the United States as the corporation?
Yes, ma'am.
That's 28 U.S. Code 3002, Section 15A, B, and C.
Ah, I think it's 18 and 28, but go ahead. You're correct. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. This is why I love engaging with you guys. We all help each other, and I wasn't aware of the one in 18 U.S. Code, but I definitely was aware of the one in 28. And, you know, when you take a secret one, you don't know what's really done under there. And either way, it's the CEO of a corporation, and we all know that. And we've got to get back to
another
that.
One for you, Lori. Title 18, United States Code 911, says that if you cannot prove that you're a U.S. citizen, you're committing a felony crime. How can you prove you're a dead corporate fictitious entity if you're alive?
Right.
It's preposterous.
Right. Right. Yeah. Yeah, they have some interesting anomalies as well, you know. So I did also want to say this. As the fire rages in California, and I'm sure the listeners probably are not going to be shocked. However, how many of you are aware that Governor Jerry Brown signed a bill on Friday that lowers from a felony to a misdemeanor the crime of knowingly exposing a sexual partner to HIV without disclosing the infection? Yes, you heard that right. He signed a bill on Friday that lowered. In other words, if you were to have HIV and sleep with someone and not disclose to that person that you had HIV and you gave them HIV, it is now a misdemeanor. The measure also applies to those who give blood without telling the blood bank that they are HIV positive. Modern medicine allows those with HIV to live longer lives and nearly eliminates the possibility of transmission. According to State Senator Scott Weiner, Democrat of San Francisco, and Assemblyman Todd Gloria, Democrat of San Diego, authors of the bill. Today, California took a major step toward treating HIV as a public health issue. Instead of treating people living with HIV as criminals, Weiner said in a statement, HIV should be treated like all other serious infectious diseases. And that's what SB 239 does. Okay, let's make this clear. In serious infectious diseases, you do not donate blood. If you even have an infection or are on antibiotics, you are not allowed to donate blood. What is wrong with these people? And if anybody from California is hearing the sound of my voice, please call in. Tell me what you think about this. Are y'all trying to get together and thinking about recalling this corrupt governor and these individuals, Senator Scott Weiner and Assemblyman Todd, Gloria, for putting your lives and possibly the lives of your family at risk? What if you have to get a blood transfusion and you get infected with AIDS because of it? What are your thoughts on that? Eric, if you would, give out the number. It's 1-800-313-9443, correct?
That's correct, Lori.
Let's get some callers calling in about this. So while the wildfire is going, California, you're really, really getting messed up by your governor. But he supposedly really cares about you. Supporters of the change said that the current law requires an intent to transmit HIV to justify a felony, but others noted cases have been prosecuted where there was no physical contact, so there was an argument intent was lacking. Brown declined to comment on his action. I bet he did. HIV has been the only communicable disease for which exposure is a felony under California law. The current law, Weiner argued, may convince people not to be tested for HIV because without a test, they cannot be charged with a felony if they expose a partner to infection. We're going to end the new HIV infections, and we will do so not by threatening people with state prison time, but rather by getting people to test and providing them access to care. Supporters of the bill said women engaging in prostitution are disproportionately targeted with criminal charges, even in cases where the infection is not transmitted. Republican lawmakers, including Senator Joel Anderson of Alpine, voted against the bill, arguing it puts the public at risk. I'm of the mind that if you purposefully inflict another with a disease that alters their lifestyle the rest of their life, puts them on a regimen of medications to maintain any kind of normalcy, it should be a felony, Anderson said during the floor debate. It's absolutely crazy to me that we should go light on this. Anderson said the answer could be to extend tougher penalties for those who expose others to other infectious diseases. So my thought pattern is this. If there's no victim, there's no crime. But if you have HIV and you know you have HIV and you intentionally sleep with somebody without disclosing that to the other partner, then there is a victim. We have a caller on the line. Welcome. How are you doing this evening?
Yes, thank you for taking my call.
Yes, absolutely.
Could I steer the subject over to jury nullification for a moment, or would you rather I call back on another day?
Nope, you're fine. Go right ahead.
You sure? Okay.
Mm-hmm.
I've been thinking about this. I'm not sure I'm the right kind of person that would want to hand flyers out, nor that I have the time to go to Riverhead where the court is. And there's probably a good chance that I might get arrested on some bum charge, which I've never been arrested. I'm 64 and I haven't been arrested for anything in my life, and I really don't want to start now.
Mm-hmm.
But there's something else that I'm thinking back over the last 15 years. I got called for jury service several times. And I don't know if this is the same. I mean, Eric might know this. When you get pulled in, when you're in a pool and you're sitting there, there's like 100 people around you, and the judge comes out and he gives you a pep talk or a speech. I think he's like a chief justice or maybe a senior justice for that court. And this would be civil court. In my case, it was Suffolk County. Does that happen up there, Eric? Have you been involved in that?
Yeah, the judge usually gives the instructions. Now they're doing a movie, some kind of movie, so I don't know if that was in response to all our complaining about how the judges are jury tampering. So they show a movie now, I think, and sometimes in lieu of the but it varies from one county to the next, but it's either the judge or it's a movie now. But either way, they do try to manipulate the juries, of course, and I just encourage people to ignore the instructions from the witch and go with your conscience.
Because I thought that rather than risk getting arrested, because whenever a cop is called on you around here, they always have three or four of them appear, and I guess that's to provide, you know, you get a bum charge like disturbing the peace or something. But if you're in a room and the judge is making a speech, I think the thing to do would be to ask the judge, by the way, can you speak on jury nullification for a moment? and then watch the blood drain
they'll
out
shut
of
you
them.
Down. Yes, they'll shut you down, and they won't let you be on the jury if you say that.
Well, I mean, at least I won't get arrested because there'll be 100 witnesses around me, and there's no opportunity to call the police.
Well, I'm just letting you know that what they'll do is they won't speak on it. They keep quiet about jury nullification. The way that the law is they have this mentality that you should know it. Ignorance of the law is no excuse. How many times have you heard that? So the same scenario goes with the jury history and knowing what your not only your rights but your responsibilities as a juror are.
Right.
So therefore they keep quiet. Go ahead.
Well, if you're telling me that if they're telling me that I should know what I'm doing there or about what I'm doing there, I would just say I'm not one of the counsel. I'm not deemed under the law.
Right, but what they will do is they will not address jury nullification, and they won't address it because it destroys their de facto.
Right.
Because then they have to explain... Then they have to explain that they have a right not to judge. They have a right not only to judge the individual and the circumstances specifically of that specific case, but they have a right to judge the law itself as well. And they don't want jurors knowing that.
Sure, certainly. And the point of it is that you think maybe if they wouldn't answer or wouldn't speak to it, even if they blow me out, they'll give me the coupon they give you for good service, and then you don't get called for another, I don't know what it is, 6 years, something like that. And don't you think that would raise a question, all those people sitting there?
Yes, but how many of them would be curious enough to go research it?
Don't know how many will research it if you're passing flyers out. You don't really know the answer to any of this. You're just hoping to throw something to the wind and that somebody might catch it. I'm certain that these people don't want to be there. So if for no other reason they don't want to be there, they probably might wonder what you're talking about. And when they see a judge, if they saw the judge walk away, I would think that would add some, you know, that would even add more curiosity to it.
Right. Well, true.
Just a thought.
And then you have to hope that...
The first time I got called for jury service, almost 15 years ago, it's funny, just after I bought my house, I got a summons for jury service. And it turned out that it was like a million to one shot that I knew the defendant because the defendant had worked in a place that I worked in, so I got off that way. And then the second time, it was a 16-year-old girl that had a baby in one of our hospitals, and the baby died, and somebody approached her and got her to, you know, try to sue the county over it. Turned out she was an illegal alien. So they were going out of their way asking the jurors to the pool, are you biased toward this type of person? Are you biased? You know, they were doing all this. I saw people putting their hands up. Oh, no, I can be totally neutral. And I asked a question, and I said, can we go outside and talk for a minute? That's what they usually do. If you want to, you put your hand up and go out and talk for a minute. We had the two attorneys. And the hospital attorney started to smile when I said, why is this even in the court system? It's a political problem. It's not a judicial problem. He go, well, Mr. X, here you go. Here's your coupon. Goodbye. Have a nice day. And that's how I got out of that one.
They won't even call. I mean, I wish they would put me on a jury.
Oh, they Yeah, I got it.
I'm just saying. I wish they would.
They know you. Mm.
I would definitely sit there and volunteer and listen to every aspect of the case. And that's a fact. Mm. And,
thank you for your time tonight.
Oh, you're more than welcome, sweetheart. If anybody else is, do we have any other callers?
Oh, get off the line, stand up.
Okay. So I wanted to let everybody know about the Gary Brown situation. So if you didn't know about it, definitely check into it. There is something you can do. Start recalling these corrupt individuals. Start finding individuals that are not part of the game, if you will. You know, like Eric always says, stay local, buy local, stay local. So that's what we could do for try to help fix things. But jury nullification.
Yep.
Something you need to educate yourself about. That way you don't have to be educated when you are lucky enough, because it is a privilege. And I want to let everybody know that the jury is the last line of defense between a corrupt government and out of control police state or anything. Because if people would start enforcing that they get a jury trial instead of taking plea bargains, and we knew what jury nullification was, and we knew what our rights and responsibilities were as jurors, this police state CCA prison industrial complex wouldn't be working. But according to the feds, 98% now are plea bargains, and that's because people are coerced, intimidated, and they are making those decisions under threat, duress, and coercion. And so many people will demonize, or even if you know somebody and they say, yeah, I'm a felon, or this, that, and the other, be careful how you automatically think, well, they're a bad person because they're a felon. They can make you a felon for parking a vehicle in front of one of their vehicles. Do you understand that? That's not and should never be considered a felony.
Well, look at the New York gun laws. Overnight, 2 million AR owners were made automatically converted into felons just by the fact that their guns were outlawed overnight, and if they didn't register with the state police, which no, nobody did, then they were automatically in possession of however many felonies, however many guns they owned. And anything in New York right now that is semi-automatic and has a detachable magazine is considered an assault rifle.
Right.
That's all it has to be is semi-auto and have a magazine that pops out. That's it. And it's and that,
and
those
that.
Two features qualify it as an assault rifle. How far down the toilet of tyranny have we gone? And so the tyranny of the local is as bad, if not worse, than the tyranny of the federal. So even if Trump was great, what's he going to do to reverse the tyranny of New York and Florida and Texas and California and all these other places?
Right.
I don't
it's
see the Justice
people.
Department being used for anything except the perpetuation of more evil and more war against their own people.
And if people learn their rights and responsibilities, then they, being the jury, could stop all of this in its tracks. That's truly
That's where it lies.
Constitutional sheriff and jury. Yes, welcome. How are you this evening?
Hello.
Hi, how are you?
I'm good. Hey, and I don't mean to be technical, but you made the comment that jury nullification was a privilege. I believe that's a right.
No, anyway. I didn't say it was a privilege.
Well,
I never said it was a privilege.
You might have just mistaken yourself, but that's okay. As far as jury nullification goes, if you get called to jury duty, and you look at the case and the charges and what the law is, and you disagree with it, keep your head low and keep just play along. And when it comes when it comes to jury deliberation, you just say no. And here's why.
Absolutely.
I don't agree with the law.
Yeah,
you don't have to explain yourself. Right. Yeah, just be low-key about it. Exercise your nullifications quietly.
Yeah, that's when you educate the other jurors and say, no, I don't agree with this law. This law is BS, and we should not be supporting this. So I'm saying no, and I ain't giving up. I'm hanging this jury. We're done. Period.
Exactly.
All over the country.
And that's how you stay, that's how you end up staying on a jury too, instead of letting them know that you know what your rights and responsibilities are as a juror.
And by the way, in New York,
you inform them yourself once it comes to deliberation. That's when you do it. You don't ask the judge. He's gonna kick your butt out right off the bat.
Yep.
You don't even talk to the judge.
Keep your head low. You keep your head low and make sure you get on that jury so that you can hang it.
Well, and by the way, in response to our thanks for the call. In response to our previous caller, also, you cannot get arrested in New York for passing out jury nullification flyers. There is case precedent in New York that protects that as a First Amendment right. And I've done it before several times in many different courts, and you're not going to get arrested. Just be discreet on where you pass them out. Best place to do it is out front on jury selection day. You get your jury nullification flyer downloaded at courtroomwatch.org. Pass out as many copies as you can, and if you can't pass them out, post them up somewhere so people can read them. Also, you can go online to the comment sections of many different web sites and presences, and post a jury nullification flyer there. Post a link to this broadcast to get people hearing more truth than they'll get out of the mainstream prostitute media. We're here to get to the bottom of things, and so I encourage people to get the jury nullification word out there. It's going to keep you safe if you ever have to go in front of the court. So with that, Lori, any closing comments before we close out the show? We got about a minute left.
Yes, absolutely. I want to thank everybody, the callers, and Gary and Chris for joining us this evening, and of course you as well, Eric. Thank you, Mike, on the board.
Thank you, Mike.
I also want to apologize if I got a little heated earlier. I just cannot stand when people are calling for more people to be in situations where they can be murdered. So, with that, everybody, as always.